Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Well, we have a great show planned, and let me tell you how great it is. We taped a couple. We did what we call a gang tape. We did two because Mark's in studio, and we can rarely get him in studio, and blah, blah, blah. And it ended up that the second show had more pertinent information in it about Kaepernick and things that are happening now, so we kind of flipped the order. So if you hear a little timeline scrub, it'll be because we did the first show first, second show, and then we're running the second show first. All right. So now that you've all wrapped your mind around that, there's a lot of good stuff coming. Mark is in rare form. First, Oracle, NetSuite, the problem, growing a business. They got a hodgepodge of business systems, one for accounting, another for sales, another for inventory. It's a mess. NetSuite by Oracle, management software that handles all aspects of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform. Save time, save money, save headaches. You don't want headaches. By managing sales, finance, accounting orders, HR, do it all instantly. Do it right from your desktop or your phone. World's number one cloud business system, that is NetSuite by Oracle. And right now, NetSuite is offering valuable insights with a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/doubt. So get it. Download your free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits, netsuite.com/doubt.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. This month's shipment includes an in-shower beer can and wine glass holder from Sip Caddy for all of you practical alcoholics out there. An official Adam Carolla's The Hammer branded jump rope to stave off the effects of your shower drinking. A copy of Shrinkage, signed by Bald Brian. A bottle of Ogre sauce, perfect for any and all meals fresh off the grill. It's also gluten-free for you pussies out there. Of course, a bottle of Mangria or 33 wine. And lastly, in your shipment, you may find another golden ticket. That's right, two lucky winners and their guests will get a VIP pass to Laughs with Bald Brian. Meet and mingle with the ACS family and the whole lineup of comedians performing that evening. That's Fitz Dog, Dana Gould, Kyle Dunnigan, and more. Sign up at CorollaDrinks.com for only $25 and cross your fingers because you and a guest may be watching Bald Brian from backstage with the rest of the ACS regulars. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out. 10 years ago, one man set sail.
But I'm going to get guests in here. I'll get a studio and we will create something together.
One man, with a microphone in hand, ranted.
No nailing schedule, no inspector, no nothing. Now,
nothing!
Nothing!
Debated.
I don't want to have a sociological debate.
Sure,
I want
why
to deal
would
with
you?
Real.
You'd have, no.
No, here's why.
Why would you want to do that? Because a person from the Times wouldn't write good things about
oh,
you if
God.
You did that.
No, no, that's not the case.
And taught the world how to properly measure a penis.
From the center of the anus to just beyond the tip.
Now, it's time to commemorate a decade. Introducing the official 10 Years of ACS Scrapbook. Featuring never-before-seen photos and stories from behind the scenes at ACS, the early days of the podcast, and favorite memories from all your favorite guests. Signed by the entire ACS crew and every host on the network, this $99 scrapbook is limited to only 300 copies. Head to CorollaDrinks.com today to get a copy of your own or a gift for the holidays. Hurry, we will sell out. This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt. With your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. Because man, I was chewing. Get it on. Welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. Reasonable Doubt. Adam Kroll. Mark Garagus back in studio.
I love 2 weeks in a row.
I know.
It's amazing.
Sorry.
And as this drops, we're I think we're both in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. I'm right. Doing a show tonight.
Yep.
Salt Lake City. Wise Guys Comedy Club.
I think I'll be there.
That would be awesome.
Right. The Wise Guys Comedy Club, which I've been to. It's very good.
We had a discussion last show about the whole Hunter Biden thing and deposition and how you would prep him and all that stuff. I don't think that people know what goes on sort of behind the scenes. I had a famous incident where when I was doing Loveline, before I did Loveline, they took me and Drew to one of those media training things. And Drew was the worst guy to do anything with ever because they'd say to him, like, all right, we're going to media training. And he'd go, I'd go, I don't need to do media training. And he'd go, what time do you want to be there? And I'd go, we're not going because we don't want to be trained in media. We want to give answers. That's what this show's about. It's authenticity. And he'd go, Saturday, what time? And I'd go, I'm not going, Drew. You know, I'm going to have to go. I don't want to waste a Saturday. Where's the location? It's in Beverly Hills.
What do I need to prepare for? What
he'd
do I
literally do? Start. And so we went down to like Bergman, Nyman, and Caffarelli or something. I think it was like a something. The guy went on to do something else. Next thing you know, you're up in this office and there are a bunch of suits and everyone's sitting around and you're just killing. You're just completely killing a Saturday with fake interviews. And then they hire an actor to go. A lot of people say Loveline is dispensing bad advice to young people. What's your answer to that? And I was just like, God damn, this is such a waste of time. It's such a waste.
Actually is like an anti-creativity lesson.
I swear to God, Matt, if you look up Bragman, Nyman, and Caffarelli or
something. Was it Howard Bragman?
Yeah, it was Howard Bragman.
Howard.
And I just sat there and I went, can we go home? Like I was saying to people, are we done? It's been 2 hours. Can we get the fuck out of here? No one's going to remember we even did this. Let's just go home. It's Saturday. The sun is shining. And Drew, they were like, we're going to do another round of fake interviews. And I was like, I don't want to do any more fake interviews. So what happened was, is I just stopped talking. I just sat there and they went, a lot of people say Loveline is hurting the young minds of the nation.
You just look at
I just look at the guy. And then Drew would just jump in. Drew would go, well, you know, that's not true. And then I went like when your computer freezes up.
Right.
I just went frozen, locked off.
It was
like a spinning wheel, spinning rainbow wheel where my mouth was.
Were you sulking? Was it a Saturday
I was like,
or you just checked out?
I says, I'm so fucking tired of this shit. Yeah. I'm going on a fucking verbiage strike. Bragman, Nyman, and Caffarelli.
Yeah,
right.
It's Howard's.
I run in that guy, he laughs his ass off because I just sat there and I stopped talking. And eventually they start asking me questions like, oh, and then what do you think? And, what qualifies you to be on Loveline? Dr. Drew's a doctor, but what qualifies you? And I just went,
You didn't even
just stare at him.
You gave
I was
nothing.
Like, I want to go home. And I wouldn't talk. And I stopped talking. And after not saying a word for like 45 minutes or an hour, eventually we just said, go home. I just
that
went
reminds
home.
Me. I don't know if we've done it on Reasonable Doubt. I've done this for legal organizations. There's an interview with Jerry Lewis. Did we do this on Reasonable Doubt?
If you it may find, have come up.
If you find it, it's one of the best 90 seconds interviews. And it's of Jerry Lewis. I show this to clients before depositions if I think they've got a problem because Jerry Lewis.
Is it where the kid came to his house and wanted to interview him?
I don't think so. I think this is a interview that clearly he had the Adam Carolla I'm done attitude. He engaged, but boy, did he teach
this
person.
This is shortly before his death, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, a guy came. It was somebody in his office, like in his house.
And it was in a house.
And there was a younger guy like trying to get him, interview him. Well, for that in a second. We'll do it now.
Okay, because I think this is one of the best deposition preparatory videos that you could ever watch. this is the right one. Hopefully it is.
This isn't going well at...
Yeah, this could be it.
There's somebody talking over. Give me their sec.
Awesome legacy for Jerry.
Yeah. This as a deposition prepper.
Oh.
Have you ever thought about retiring?
Why?
Was there never a moment that you thought it might be time to retire or you would want...
Why?
Jerry Lewis sits down with the Hollywood Reporter, but he's not making it easy.
Bob Hope, George Burns, Sinatra. Do you see similarities with them?
None.
None? You're on tour now. What else do you have planned? Or do you have anything else lined?
Yeah, but nothing we want to talk about.
Do you have a favorite story about, like, Dean or Frank Sinatra or somebody that you worked with that you'd like to share?
No.
Not at all?
None.
How about you have an unfavorite story you'd like?
Nope. Not for this.
Ouch.
I'm telling you.
No.
The 90-year-old comedian has just one more thing to say.
So we're finished.
All right, clean it out of here.
Clean it out of here.
It is. That is, because they always say, what do you do? How do I prepare for a deposition? Yes, no, or I don't know. Jerry takes it one step further.
Yeah.
Nope, none.
Nope. I like your prep. All right, so by now we do have the Ukrainian energy company story or question.
Question. And we'll break it down. We have it. Both with their men in black glasses.
Go ahead.
And your father ever discuss Ukraine?
No. As I said, the only time was after a news account, and it wasn't a discussion in any way. There's no but to this. No, we never did.
Your dad said, I hope you know what you're doing.
I hope you know what you're doing.
I do.
And I said, I do. And that was literally the end of our discussion.
Why?
Because my dad was vice president of the United States. There's literally nothing as a young man or as a full-grown adult that my father in some way hasn't had influence over. As it does not serve either one of us.
When he said, I hope you know what you're doing, what did he think you were doing?
Well, he read the press reports that I joined the board of Burisma, which was a Ukrainian natural gas company. And there's been a lot of misinformation about me, not about my dad. Nobody buys that, but it buys this idea that I was unqualified to be on the board.
What were your qualifications to be on the board of Burisma?
Well, I was vice chairman of the board of Amtrak for 5 years. I was the chairman of the board of the UN World Food Program. I was a lawyer for Boies Schiller Flexner, one of the most prestigious law firms in the world.
You didn't have any extensive knowledge about natural gas or Ukraine itself, though.
No, but I think that I had as much knowledge as anybody else that was on the board, if not more.
Okay, can we press pause for a second? This, if they prepped him and this was the best he did, I can't even tell you how bad this is.
I was watching it.
It's horrific. I would have shut this down. And by the way, I would have shut it down.
You would throw a shoe at her?
I've shut down interviews before. I would just say, I would have shut this down. It's just awful. I can't. And then, boy, I was at Boies Schiller. Oh, David Boies, the guy who just got hammered in the Ronan Farrow book about doing this, that, or the other thing. I mean, give me a break. And then the idea that I was on the board for Amtrak, that translates into I'm going to Ukraine.
Right.
The reason you were on the board to Amtrak is your dad famously rides the Amtrak. I mean, that, you know, period, end of story. Please. If he gave that answer to me prior to taking that interview, I'd say, when I think Amtrak and a politician, who's the first guy who comes to mind? It's Joe Biden famously riding the Amtrak home to Delaware every night while he's in the Senate.
You've
right?
literally just laid tracks to the next piece of insider trading because your dad got you that job too. Like, by the way, yeah, what about Amtrak?
What a shit show this is. I want to go back to checking into rehab.
All right, well, you can keep playing it. Sorry.
You gave me of the reasons why you're on that board. You did not list the fact that you were the son of the vice
president. Of course, yeah. No.
What role do you think that played?
I think that it is impossible for me to be on any of the boards that I just mentioned without saying that I'm the son of the vice president of the United States.
You were paid $50,000 a month for your position?
Look, I'm a private citizen. One thing that I don't have to do is sit here and open my kimono as it relates to how much money I make or did. But it's
okay.
All been reported.
Can we pause? What there is, I just say, what do you think you're going to get by saying, I'm a private citizen, I don't have to open my kimono, and then it's all publicly reported. That makes no sense to me. That just, why are you going to antagonistically look defensive when you know when you're going to end with it's all publicly reported? Yes, that's how much I got paid. It's less than this or it's less than that. I mean, any other answer that is on the top 10 stupid answers, that's in the top 10.
Right. So you say, yeah, I got paid, and I realize it sounds like a lot to a lot of Americans.
And it is a lot. You can admit it. It's a lot to a lot of Americans. However, I mean, there's a million other things. However, I know what I could say. Look, you want to talk about being a Boies Schiller? Yes, $50,000 a month. Partners at Boies Schiller make 10 times that much a month, okay? $500,000 right. a month makes $6 million. I'm sure their partnership profits are $6 million out of New York or out of D.C. So I took – is a better one to say I took a pay cut or I had to take time off or it wasn't – who knows? I mean, I'd ask certain questions. Was that $50,000 a month payable to you or was it payable to Boies Schiller? If it was payable to Boies Schiller, it didn't affect your salary, so to speak. It was paid. It was a contract between you and Boies. So, I mean, there's a million other answers if we knew the facts. That is clearly not the right answer.
All right. Do you want to do a or spot? Let's do a spot way. Here, and then we'll carry on.
Here, I thought he was trying to have me name my dog. Running your own business isn't easy. Yeah, because everybody wants the holidays off. Get help with day-to-day challenges, like is this a real legitimate holiday, a faux holiday, or are they just trying to expand on sick days? Because over the last 18 years, LegalZoom has helped more than 2 million business owners get started. And every entrepreneur knows getting started is just the beginning. In a lot of ways, LegalZoom helps you take care of all the stuff that's really the most nettlesome. I'll tell you, it's the truth. I refer people, I can't tell you how often they come in, they say, I want to pay you to do this, that, or the other. And I say, it's just easier to do LegalZoom. That's what their network of independent attorneys and tax professionals can help you with. They give you advice on trademarks, tax law changes, and reviewing contracts. And you'll save money. Absolutely, you'll save money because you avoid the, hourly fee since LegalZoom is not a law firm. It's got very skilled lawyers there, but it's not a law firm. And don't get distracted by legal hurdles, business questions, and the year as it winds down. You should use LegalZoom, right, Matt?
That's right. Go to LegalZoom.com today. Find out all the different ways they can help your business. Don't forget to enter the promo code DOUBT in the box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code DOUBT. LegalZoom, where life meets legal.
So I want to break down. All right, let's pick up the Hunter Biden questionings. Who we get to.
If your last name wasn't Biden, do you think you would have been asked to be on the board of Burisma?
I don't know. Probably
oh,
not. I don't
see.
Think that.
Did he say
a lot
probably not?
That happened in my life. That
right. Rewind.
That my last
yeah.
Name
rewind. Say probably not.
I was going out of my mind because I was picturing you, and I was picturing well, you'd be you'd go nuts with this kind of answer.
It just drives me crazy. I don't understand what they were telling him. He's a lawyer. He's obviously an incredibly bright guy. He obviously has resources and the availability of a campaign that's got money to prep him. And why do you bury the headline? If you're, I mean, and it's obvious. I mean, how many times have I said publicly, if my client's name was Jesse, you know, Bigot, he wouldn't have been prosecuted? Or if blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's the first question somebody's going to ask. If your name was Hunter Jones, would you have been hired? Probably, you know, in retrospect, absolutely not. Own it. What's the, you don't know, your Amtrak board experience isn't going to help you.
So you say, own it.
If you're going to do this, own it.
Right. So you go, of course, but that doesn't mean I didn't do a great job
right.
for the company.
Exactly. And by the way, thank God I'm my father's son. But what do you know? Thank God he was born before me. I don't know. You have something clever to talk about the fact that, yes, I live in my father's shadow. I understand that, but I'm trying to do something. I mean, you could strike out on your own. I have an interest in energy. I don't know. I would talk to him. I would talk to him for 30 minutes and find something better than what I'm watching. Right. I guarantee you I could find some better pivot than these things. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You don't know. You think Burisma just said, hey, we heard Hunter Biden that Boies Schiller is a perfect addition to our board and picked you out? Give me a break.
All right.
I don't. I mean, it's just, well, who's he talking to?
All right. That's why I knew we had to do this.
Probably not. I don't
probably
think
not.
That there's
thank
a lot
you.
Of things
probably
that would have
not.
Happened in my life that that if my last name wasn't Biden.
Why did you leave the board in April?
It's a 5-year term.
And you chose not to
I chose
continue.
Not to. Yeah.
Why?
I think it's pretty obvious why.
This is
yeah,
your opportunity.
Okay,
to say
I'll give you another one. Okay. Why, first of all, they were going to say, why'd you leave the board? I mean, that's the first question. If he comes into the office and you say, well, you still on the board? Before
right,
you
so
do this interview.
Hunter right? Biden walks into your office, first three questions.
Probably going to be, how did they find you? How did they get you? Who made first contact? Did you make first contact or they make first contact? Who
the energy company.
The energy, Burisma. They reach out to you, you reach out to them. And where did the money go? Did the money go directly to you or did it go to your law firm? And are you still on the board? When he tells me he left in April, right?
Right.
Let me tell you the worst answer you give. Oh, it was the expiration of the 5-year term. Really? That's your stupid answer? It's the expiration of the 5-year term? How about, obviously, my father's running for president. I don't want this to be an issue anymore because of the appearance of impropriety. I stepped aside. I walked away. I walked away from $1 million a year. That's what I did because I believe so strongly in my father's mission to right the wrong path that this country is on or something along those lines. Not, oh, the 5-year term, it expired. And then because then you get the follow-up question, which Amy ably did, right on it said, well, was it, you know, was there anything else? Yeah, well, obviously. Well, why do you look defensive? That's
right.
It's a bad look.
All right, keep going.
This is your opportunity to say why.
Well, because this is what becomes a distraction, because I have to sit here and answer these questions. And so that's why I've committed that I won't serve on any boards or I won't work directly for any foreign entities when my dad becomes president.
Do you think that should be a rule across the board for any administration?
No. Look, that's the rule that I'm going to adhere to.
Do you regret being on the board?
Now, this is another one. Let me just – those answers I want to just slap. What do you mean? When he becomes president. Well, he isn't president yet. In fact, he hasn't won the nomination. So why are you saying, why are you conditioning it? I'm not going to serve on any foreign boards until he becomes president. So you're going to wait a year and a half. You're going to go on and be on China. All you're doing is asking people to do what I'm doing right now. And when you say to avoid questions like this to a reporter, it's insipid. I mean, that's not the right answer. It's not even, it looks defensive and everything so far on this portion, as opposed to last week, looks as defensive. I don't get it.
Well, this is funny because this is the clip I wanted to play. That's the one I thought aired. But I knew he'd have feelings. When he's as an attorney, when you get a guy who's a truck driver and you go, I got to coach you up for this deposition, the truck driver probably goes, I'm all ears. The attorney might go, I think I know what I'm doing.
They all attorneys, myself included, always think they know better.
So a little less coachable than the truck driver.
Less coachable, but I'll tell you something else that I found across the board with clients. First of all, putting a client on in the criminal context is always the most frightening decision you'll ever have to make. There isn't a case. My father famously always used to say it's a rare case and a rare criminal case that gets better after the prosecution rests, meaning you don't want to put on a defense case. You don't want to put your defendant on. And that's true. I'd rather try the whole case within the prosecution case. But the other thing is a client can do well for 4 hours, 5 hours, can do well on direct. But on cross, and I've seen this happen famously in two cases of mine where a client over my strident objections took the stand anyway. And the prosecutor, a smart prosecutor, will run out the clock on a Friday. They can start their thing on a Thursday and they'll run out the clock on a Friday, have the whole weekend, come back and just batter the crap out of a defendant, especially if the defendant's in custody. In this case, you've got somebody who is going to be dissected. They're going to have – he's going to be what we're doing. People are going to be doing maybe not as long form as we're doing, but they're going to do it immediately. It's going to form a, they're going to form an opinion. And I just don't understand all the defensiveness to this. I mean, you're the one who chose to get into this interview. If you're going to get into the interview and be defensive, then don't do the interview. Just don't do it. If you're going to get into the interview, be a little charming. And he is, he can be charming. You can tell that this guy's got the ability to charm.
Right.
But he's certainly not. It's almost as if the charm is the exception to the defensiveness rule with this interview.
All right, let's do a little more.
No, I don't regret being on the board. But what I regret is not taking into account that there would be a Rudy Giuliani and a president of the United States that would be listening to this ridiculous conspiracy idea, which has, again, been completely debunked by everyone. And, you know,
I think
we
people
are,
at home
are
thinking, how could that not have crossed your mind? Or you wouldn't have felt just a little bit in your gut, like, maybe this isn't a good idea to go and sit on the board of this Ukrainian company.
I said to you, in retrospect, I wish
that
my judgment.
Time, you never thought, this might not look right.
You know what? I'm a human. You know what? Did I make a mistake? Well, maybe in the grand scheme
Let
of things.
Let me just say that. And Amy was good there because she was soft soaping it. But once again, when you have to default to I'm a human, I just like to banish that from a witness. You never say that. You just say, own it. You obviously, you could have taken part of what he was trying to say there, and you could have put that at the end. You don't lead with the Rudy or the president bashing. You say, yes, obviously, it was a mistake. I shouldn't have done it. Blah, blah. Own it. I mean, you know, there isn't anything. You're not admitting or not confessing. It's not like Mick Mulcavy, the acting chief of staff who got up there out of nowhere and admitted a quid pro quo. Everybody knows you were on the board. I mean, that's an immutable fact. Everybody knows you're no longer on the board. It's an immutable fact. Why are you running away from it and saying, Yeah, I was on it for 5 years, and in retrospect, what he should have said is I shouldn't have done it. If I had known I'd be here today, I shouldn't have. And yes, I informed with the information I have now, absolutely I wouldn't have done it. And I probably would have separated I would have had a much bigger wall up and been more attuned to the fact that when my last name is Biden, I shouldn't be on foreign boards. Whether he's the president now or running for president.
Matt, I don't know what the other questions are on this. You might want to scan through it and check it out. Would you say he was prepped and ignored some of the preparation, or would you say he sort of did a thing where he said, I'm a lawyer, I think I know what I'm doing? What do you think went on behind the scenes?
I think he clearly had somebody in his ear telling him stuff. And, you know, part of the problem with that is that people like me, you, I'm sure him, he's a high achiever. No matter what you think of Hunter, he has on his own, went to law school, passed the bar, has had success. I believe also a military veteran and has done things with his life. There's a certain amount of hubris. And all of us who achieve anything against some odds have an amount of hubris. His hubris was not in check during that interview. I mean, that's all I can say. He could have dialed it back. You've got to be there's times when you're in a crisis that you've got to do things that you normally are not in your default, so to speak. And that was not.
I have a interesting Liz Warren to run for you.
Please.
I also have Kaepernick questions. First, AIS, just another commercial, but you're going to want to listen to this one because I just met Mark and Susan from the Auto Insurance Specialist. They sell car insurance with a unique twist. Smart Quote technology compares the rates and coverages of lots of insurance companies. Then pick your price. Doesn't get any simpler than that. AIS, it saves customers an average of $640 when they switch. So you want to save almost $600, an average of almost $650 when you switch. Insurance rates are rising fast. You got to compare to save. Best way is to let AIS do the shopping for you. You give them a call, 800-777-4AIS. And also, you can go online at AISinsurance.com/doubt. See just how much money, an average of $640 just for checking it out. So go to AISinsurance.com/doubt. All right. So go ahead and scan through there, Matt, and see if we can find out any questions.
The last 2 minutes are really just about China and whether or not Biden has received any money from China. That's really the last 2 minutes of that clip.
You want to hear, hear that part? Yeah. And then I want to ask you about Kaepernick because he's all in the news with the injury to Mahomes. And well, I got this Liz Warren thing to play as well. All right, so we'll listen to that. Go ahead, Matt.
The president has repeatedly said that you received $1.5 billion from China despite no experience and for no apparent reason. Obviously, fact checkers have said that that is not true.
Look, this is literally has no basis in fact in any way.
Have you received any money from that business dealing?
No.
At all? Not 1 cent?
Not 1 cent.
Definitely not $1.5 billion.
It's crazy. They feel like they have the license to go out and say whatever they want. It feels to me like living in some kind of Alice in Wonderland where you're up on the real world and then you fall down the rabbit hole and, you know, the president's a Cheshire cat asking you questions about crazy things that don't have bear any resemblance to the reality of anything that has to do with me. And so
here's the answer. I readily admit I do this on occasion. Your target demographic does not read Alice in Wonderland.
You don't like all the references to the Princess Bride.
Right, and the Cheshire Cat. Yeah. And that's not. So what you have to do
It's like the great Al Jolson used to say.
Exactly. How about when I say, what do you do? Charlie McCarthy? And they look at me like, what? Paul Winchell? What?
This guy's conducting the White House like Les Brown and his band of renown. 22 Skidoo. I got to get my Stutz Bearcat, get my raccoon coat and get out of here. We're going to the sock hop. You want to come, sweetie?
Yeah, as Chubby Checker used to say, he's giving a twist. And I just don't get it. Look, this is a good-looking guy. He presents well. He's obviously very smart, and he did himself or he was done a disservice in this. I would have taken that $1.5 billion. That would have been the – could have led with that. I mean, you know, there is a – you know, if there is, as he says, absolutely no truth to it, and I mean, nobody's paying him $1.5 billion, by the way.
No. The allegation is the company that got $1.5 from China for the company. But I don't know.
But by the way, if he got $1.5 billion from China for the company, you know, if you want to get into that and talk about Trump as opposed to Alice in Wonderland, talk about the Chinese people who are buying at Trump Tower. Talk about the Chinese or where Ivanka is getting patents. Talk about, you know, direct compensation into the pockets of one of the Trump family as opposed to the Cheshire Cat going down the rabbit hole. I mean, you know, I don't want to diminish the great intellect of the American people, but that's not a reference that I think is going to resonate, so to speak.
Mm. Well, it's like the great football player Paul Hornung used to say.
Right.
You know, Andy Granatelli put his arm around me once and he said, son,
go get that SDP sticker.
That's right. And ME has no idea who Andy Granatelli is. That's my point.
And nobody's seen an SDP sticker in 40 years.
All right, Matt, let's move on. I want to know about Kaepernick.
Okay, so this is the latest. You know, what was just reported was that Kansas City and their owner, Clark Hunt, who I think is the son probably of
Lamar,
has previously stated that he had no problem with bringing in Cap. So then Mahomes was injured in a kind of reminiscent, not anywhere near as bad as a Theismann injury. Talk about
it. But as kneecap moved, kneecap or dislocated.
Dislocated, put back into the spot. And so there were a lot of people who immediately said, well, if that's the case and he's going to be out, then Cap would be a good fit there, especially with Andy Reid. But now what's being reported is they expect Chad Henne to be back from the injured reserve in 2 weeks. And the Mahomes, I saw something in ESPN this morning where they're only expecting him out to be 4 weeks. So their plan would probably be, the speculation is, to ride with Moore and Henne until Mahomes get back. And Damachek was telling me when before we started the show that Andy Reid, to some degree, is known for not bringing a quarterback in. Maybe I should ask you that question. Is he not a guy who will bring in a quarterback out of nowhere?
Well, I'd heard the opposite. I heard he took a chance on Michael Vick.
That's what I thought. That's why I did. I was perplexed by that.
There was also McNabb, I guess, he worked with or brought him over. So I don't know, but
see,
he was.
I should have asked you, the NFL expert.
That's all I heard. I mean, you know, Vic had a lot of baggage. Vic was in prison. You know,
I don't care what you say.
Pedophilia is dogfighting.
Right. Dogfighting. You're not kidding. And by the way, I won't even get started on that. But the idea that Colin, who was the guy that they brought in, the 38-year-old who hadn't touched the football for a year and a half, was that Moore?
Well, there's been some cases of that. There was a quarterback for the Steelers who came in who hadn't been playing for a while years ago when Big Ben went down. Anyway, I don't know who came in. Moore, I think, came in to fill in for Mahomes and played a good game.
Right.
So
right.
It seems like they have a pretty good backup, at least backup enough to score another 17 points after Mahomes left the
field. Well, and as Dave was saying beforehand, there's also the argument that, by the way, the rules have gotten to the point where a quarterback can do pretty well, even having, not knowing the system or anything else, you just bring him in and he can, as a stopgap measure. I think that it's beyond any shadow of a doubt at this point. And I know it's difficult to say because I'm always the glass half full. I wonder if that's like going down the rabbit hole with Alice in Wonderland. But it's become apparent to me that they've just decided, as a collective group, the NFL owners are just not going to go there. I mean, there was some speculation recently that I saw that actually resonated, where they didn't want to get crossways with Trump because they needed Trump on the NFL gambling legislation. There's some legislation which will spend that out. That makes some sense to me. Why does that make sense to me? Because people are motivated to see LeBron in the NBA, obviously, by, monetary issues.
I evoked your name earlier in the week because I was saying on ACS that LeBron thing and the tweet from the general manager of the Houston Rockets. But I was speaking for you, so I want to know what your take is. We always talk about the Kathy Griffin press conference 2 weeks after the thing, and then the meltdown, and then the subsequent second day of press that then tears the Band-Aid and the scab right off the wound, and now it's bleeding again.
By the way, Kathy right now has less than no use for Lisa Bloom. I mean, she goes out of her way to hammer the shit out of Lisa Bloom.
So just lay low for 72 hours and let it blow by.
Right.
The guy sent a pretty innocuous tweet standing with Hong Kong. Just let it go. Let it go. It'll be gone. No one even knew about it. But they had to react to it. They had to demand an apology. And now, because the optics are so bad. I mean, the optics are bad. They're sort of Hunter Biden bad. So Hunter Biden's thing is, I did nothing wrong. And the answer to that is, We're not saying you did anything wrong. We're saying it's cronyism and nepotism that got you in the position not to do anything wrong. It's the fact that you're there is something wrong.
It's the oldest story in the world. If you're going to seize the moral high ground and complain about Trump and his corruption, and you can do that, that's fine. But make sure that there isn't going to be some pushback when you do it.
Right.
Right?
So if this guy had just sent his tweet out from the Houston Rockets, and no one would have been a ship in the night. But then they had to push back. Then they demand apology. Then Steve Kerr doesn't know what to say.
Kerr, who I love. This is a guy who has been tremendous on so many issues, and it was awful.
Well, a guy who speaks out frequently about social injustice, did a soliloquy on needing to have a discussion with his brother-in-law, who somehow is imbibed with the wisdom of the Orient, as to what is going on here in China. And his answer was so long that it basically it bled of guilt, because it was, again, like we've talked about, like, too much answer.
It's a very simple thing. Steve Kerr could say, why do you open yourself up to the charge of hypocrisy? You can just – and why do you say, look, with my limited knowledge, I'll tell you this. I'm looking at – if you're Steve Kerr, I'm looking at people protesting for democratic principles. Why wouldn't we support that? Period, end of story. You know, yes, I'm supportive of people who of the right to protest, just like we have in America. Why do you have to say, I got to learn more? There's thousands of people in the streets. Even somebody who's a casual follower of current events knows it has to do with the extradition treaty, that has to do with China. This is not bio.
Right. They didn't want to upset the NBA and Nike and the bosses and China and everyone else. Now, I will do a spot. I will let Matt get the Liz Warren interview queued up. You're going to love this piece of hard-hitting interview. First, I'll tell you about Limetown. Facebook Watch presents Limetown, a new show. Follows the mysterious disappearance of over 300 men, women, and children, all without a trace. In the 15 years since, not a single survivor has been located. It stars Jessica Biel.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, really amazing. Not a single survivor.
Not a single luxury. Starring Jessica Biel, and she's an investigative reporter who goes searching for answers. She unravels the unsettling truth behind the disappearance, and you can watch it right now. Stream now. Only on Facebook Watch. That's Facebook Watch. All right. We'll have the interviewer. I'm sorry. What was this fella's name again? God, his name escapes me. But anyway, there was a controversy about her saying she was fired because she was pregnant. And then they went and got the minutes of the school board meeting. And they said they all voted her back for a second year, but she regrettably resigned. So now, I don't know, Mark, you're a lawyer. When you have minutes from a school board meeting,
it's a pretty good business record that's admissible in virtually any case. And by the way, if that was a element of whatever was being testified to, I think you would have found that. I don't understand. In today's Google age, where you can find virtually anything because they've archived it, why you would go out and not expect that would be found is beyond me. But let's watch.
Let me ask you this quick question. There is a man. That man was the principal of this school that she worked for from 1969 to 1981. He's probably dead. She's going around the country saying, I told this man I was pregnant, or he saw I wanted to work a second year at the school with the special needs kids. He looked down, saw I was pregnant, and showed me the door. That guy has a name. That guy's name is, we can find out his name because he's the guy who worked at that.
It's not Corn Pop.
And who is, he has living relatives. Is there any legal liability here? Are they going to, can they say to her, hey, you're basically saying,
defaming him? No, because if he's dead, no.
No. Okay. No family name or any of that. No. Stuff. All right. Go ahead and play it. Sorry.
I was visibly pregnant. And the principal did what principals did in those days. Wished me luck and hired someone else for the job. I was visibly pregnant. And the principal did what principals did in those days. Wished me luck and hired someone else for the job. I was visibly pregnant. Wished me luck and hired someone else for the job. I was visibly pregnant. Wished me luck and hired someone else for the job. I was visibly pregnant.
Wished me luck. All right. She's told this story a few times.
And in many a jurisdiction.
Many a jurisdiction. So a reporter from CBS, Zach Huddock, had to confront her on it because they had the minutes from the school board. So he wanted to know, hey, were you really shown the door because you were pregnant? So let's see how he phrased the question.
Is it accurate to say you were fired or were you forced to resign, or how would we characterize this?
You know, look, it doesn't matter much what the term is, but let's be clear. I was 6 months pregnant. It was my first job. I was 22 years old. And the job that was mine, that I'd been hired for the next year, was taken away when they knew I was pregnant.
Just to be clear, because I want to make sure I have this down, They were not incorrect, though, to say that you were fired.
Yeah, I don't know what else.
All right, hold on. Do you know what he said? Just to be clear, I got that part.
Right.
Everything after that, ironically, was very fuzzy and murky.
It became kind of a double negative that wandered and meandered.
So did they? Are you saying they fired you or shit-canned you? No, Mr. Reporter, she's saying they fired her. They're saying she resigned.
Exactly.
So just to be clear.
Claire, are you saying, and then he went into a double negative.
Let me hear what he said one more time because it made me laugh. I do love it when people preface things with just to be clear. But the first time he said to her.
Just to be clear, I'm going to
money
the
waters. Did they fire you or show you the door? Which is the same as. He didn't get out of the – he got out of the gate by tripping and landing on his face. And then he followed up with the worst follow-up of nonsensical. Yeah. Here it was.
They knew I was pregnant.
Just to be clear, because I want to make sure I have this down, They were not incorrect, though, to say that you were fired.
They were incorrect.
I don't know what else you'd call
them. All right, you can pause it. They were not incorrect
to say you were fired. They were not in – how about – they were correct to say you were fired. Instead of saying they were not incorrect, they were correct to say you were fired. And she doesn't, and you know what she says? She says, I don't know what you call it.
Right. Pipe. Sorry.
I mean, it was my job. And in April, they'd said, you're doing a great job, come back next year. And when they found out I was pregnant, they changed that.
That's a hard-hitting interview right there. Now, it's later, it's funny, later on he goes, in documents we've uncovered, and then he went on to say she was pregnant. But he didn't say, we have the minutes from the school board meeting.
Well, I have an even bigger question. Don't most school years end in June at the latest?
I guess, yeah, the latest, yeah.
Didn't she just say in April they told me I could come back?
I guess.
And didn't she say she was visibly pregnant 6 months with her for 22?
I'm totally confused by everything.
But can I get a timeline? Because none of this makes sense.
If you were doing this interview, wouldn't you bring up the minutes from the school board meeting?
I think that's the first thing I'd say. Well, first I'd say, when did they tell you to shove off? Or whatever, you know, right. What did she say? They told me, see you some other time. But what date was that? Was that May? Was that June? Was that April? You just said April. You were invited back.
She answered the question in a way where she wasn't going to say, they fired me. She said, I had a job, and then I didn't have a job. Someone else had that job. She backed way off her, I was fired because I was pregnant. She doesn't admit any of that.
I'm also going to speculate that if she was 22 at the time and she's 70 now, that that would have been sometime she would not have had any kind of tenure. She probably was a teacher who was at will and was probably a first year. And if she was going to give birth back in those days, and I don't know when she was 6 months, you'd want to say, did they offer you the job in April? And did you say, I'm not going to be able to do it because I'm going to be giving birth in September when school starts?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if they, and then if the minutes support what the school said, there's got to be a board member who's alive.
You'd think, you know, to me, the most amusing part is just his question. His initial question, which was, did they fire you or did they fire you? Was basically his initial question, when the initial one should have been, did they fire you or did you resign?
Right. I mean, but why
and then
not
his
just...
follow-up was, so it would not be no if then so they turned not... out to have fired you, they would were... be a correct, right? If you want to be amused a little more, he does the follow-up back to the field, like when she does, when she's back. Now, by the way, you and I could never work an anchor desk.
No.
Because we'd be like, hey, Brett, what the fuck was that? I don't even know what that is.
Would you ask the final question? What the hell are you doing out there?
Where'd you go to, what part of Mexico did you go to journalism school in, Zach?
It was offshore, and they, apparently the last hurricane wiped out your school. Because...
I don't know what that, yeah, whoa, you may have went in, where, Grenada? What happened? What was that? I would be sitting at the desk yelling, you know what? I know less about this story now
after
this interview. Yeah. Thank you very much. All right, wait. He has a last parting thoughts.
Zach, explain for us why the attention on that account.
Well, the account, first of all, is important in her story because her stump speech tells her policies through her personal story. She's talking about the road to the middle class getting rockier and steeper. And her personal story, as she says at the beginning of it, isn't a straight line, she says, like many people's. And she describes a series of twists and turns. And at each twist and turn, each sort of injustice that is dealt to her, she seems to overcome it. It's, you know, and come up with something better. This happens. She says she's shown the door for being pregnant. What can she do but go to law school? She goes to law school. She's pregnant again. She can't get hired. She becomes a law professor, and so on. So this is part of the theme of her story. Now, in 2004, there was another interview in which, 2007 at Berkeley, in which she told the story a little bit differently. She didn't include anything about being pushed out of the door by the principal. That's what's been widely reported on now as a contradiction. Now, the fact that, as that interview said, she was on an emergency certificate and needed more classes was true. Warren explained that to me by saying, yes, she needed to go back to grad school, but the board had guaranteed her another year on one of these certificates. Now, documents that we uncovered from then supported that, but sort of the question here, I think, was, did Warren change the way she told this and what really happened? And in that clip you played there, what we were trying to get at is,
you know, it'd be funny.
Is she saying,
all right, this, if they went back to the news anchor desk and you just saw her feet hanging there, just she'd hanged herself from a lighting cap.
I got to tell you, Zach could use, he could use some Twitter game because he needs to try to get a little bit pithier.
I used to like to say to guys like that, I'd say, if you were a jukebox, I'd kick you.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
That guy is just... But
Mark,
you know,
keeps throwing stars in his desk in case any of his lawyers try that shit.
Zach needs to... I don't know.
Reporting ain't
Boston?
What it used to be,
it
right?
Sure isn't. This guy needs to go back to South Dakota, I think. I don't know. He needs a, needs a little bit of a...
He needs to find a smaller campaign to follow. Like, is there a district selectman in Plentywood, Montana that you could cover?
First, we're talking about this. Now he's talking about the emergency certificate, which, by the way, is what I was saying in the first place. When she was 22, it was probably a temporary teaching position.
Anyway, it's all crystal clear now.
Right, yeah. Zach cleared it up.
All right. All right, go ahead and clear the screen of Zach. I'll tell you guys, this coming, let's see. Yeah, this coming Friday, Saturday, Salt Lake City, Wise Guys coming up, Comedy Club. Mark's going to make an appearance there.
Absolutely. I want to see the Wise Guys.
And you can go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. No Safe Spaces available this Friday. NoSafeSpaces.com. We're going to be in Arizona with that. So just go on the website and check that out. And check out my YouTube channel, all the free stand-up there, YouTube/AdamCarolla. What do you got, Mark?
I got Capri Southampton still open. Stop by. We've got the Prova Pizzeria, Grand Central Terminal, and in the Moxie Hotel. In Times Square, Engine Company 28 and Mediterranean Tapas at Tenney, downtown L.A. V Palm Springs is open, and this is the season, and Costa Tropicana if you want to be by the beach in San Clemente.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla from Mark Garriga saying mahala.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Carolla Digital.